Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master here on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. I am thankful to be here with you today on this Friday morning to be your host, and it's been a little while since we've been able to do our Friday morning program. Recently, some things have changed in my life and in my family. Back towards the end of September, my wife gave birth to our first daughter, and so we've taken a little break from recording and a little break from getting these programs out, just to a little more time to spend with her and to help my wife around the house with some things as we're both adjusting to this new phase of life. And so it is certainly a blessing, but I am thankful to have the opportunity and to have the ability to be back and to start recording and doing these programs here on TGRN once again. I will also go ahead and let you know that today I am going to be by myself. Generally, in the past, we've had guests with us. Normally, I have my good brother and friend, Brother Aaron Anderson, on the program with us. But today is going to be a little bit different, as simply it will be an introduction to the book of 2 Thessalonians. I will also let you know that instead of recording from the studio at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, where we normally record our program, I'm actually recording from my house today. So it is possible that from time to time you might hear the occasional car or the delivery truck roll by. You might at times hear my cats in the background. And if any of that is going on, Lord willing, it will not be a distraction to you. But I just want to get that out here in the beginning so that you are aware if you hear any different noises than normal. That's because I'm not in the wonderful TGRN studio that has the good soundproof. Instead, I'm just here in my office at the house, looking out the windows at the road, probably about 20 yards or so out in front of me. So from time to time, chances are you will happen to hear a vehicle go by. But that's all right. That's a wonderful thing to still be able to record these programs, whether it is at the primary studio at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ for TGRN.org, or whether it is here in my home, and just to be here and have the wonderful ability with the technology that we have today, that we can still record these programs and get these sent out all over the world. And so it is certainly a wonderful blessing, and I'm thankful to have the opportunity to share in that wonderful ministry of the GospelRadioNetwork.org. So as I mentioned just a moment ago, today we are going to look at a little bit of an introduction to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Before we took our break for some time, we had just finished up studying 1 Thessalonians in our study on Friday mornings here on Mornings for the Master. So today what we're going to do is take a little bit of time just to recap, do a little bit of a review over the book of 1 Thessalonians, and then we'll see how far we get into 2 Thessalonians today. But that's our game plan, so let's start out with that little bit of a review. When we think about the church in Thessalonica, really the church in Thessalonica begins before we see Paul's letter, whether it is 1 or 2 Thessalonians. Because what this does is it goes back to Paul and his missionary journeys. If we go to Acts chapter 17, what we find is the establishment of the church in Thessalonica. As Paul was there, it says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 1, when they, that's Paul, that's Silas, and that's Timothy, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. And so Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 4, give us the initial establishment of the church in Thessalonica. That's when Paul was there and was able to first meet these brethren and first convert these brethren. But immediately after the church was established there in Acts 17, 1 through 4, there arose a great persecution that would drive Paul away from these new converts. It's not that Paul wanted to leave. It's not that he was ready to depart from Thessalonica and from his new brethren. But instead, the situation caused Paul to have to go and have to leave town. It says in Acts 17, starting in verse 5, "But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, "There is another king, Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews." And as time would elapse, this is me paraphrasing now, but as time would elapse in Berea and the mob would follow Paul even to Berea and drive him out of the region there, well, eventually Paul finds himself sitting in the city of Corinth. And it is most likely when Paul was in Corinth that he would write these two letters, actually, to the church in Thessalonica. You can look in Acts chapter 18 and verse 5 and see where it is that it was in Corinth that Paul first is able to once again be with Silas and Timothy. And so that's why it is that most believe these letters would have actually been written from Corinth. But that's interesting when we look at the timeline, because at least for the book of 1 Thessalonians, which we have already studied together, and you can go back in the on-demand section and catch up on our study of 1 Thessalonians there. But it was only a few weeks or even just simply a few months at most that Paul would find himself writing the letter of 1 Thessalonians. And as we will address, well, before too long in the program this morning, it actually would not have been much longer than that that he would write 2 Thessalonians. But as it relates to 1 Thessalonians for our review and for a little bit of an overview, basically we can look at that letter and see the first three chapters as Paul reviewing his relationship with the brethren there. He focused in chapter 1 about the good and the evident faith of the Thessalonians. In chapter 2, he looked at how it was that he, Silvanus, and Timothy worked, and he would remind the Thessalonians how they worked as they were there with the Thessalonians, that they were not looking for anything in return, but instead they were giving and showing an example of how it is the Thessalonians needed to work as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 was a chapter wherein Paul primarily dealt with his reasoning for having sent Timothy back to Thessalonica, that because Paul could not be with them himself, well, he would send Timothy and receive good news of their faith and of their love and of the good works that they were doing. In chapters 4 and 5, moving on from that relationship review, Paul goes into a section where he does more teaching. He exhorts and he admonishes the brethren. The first portion of chapter 4, we saw where it is that Paul would deal with some specific issues that were going on in the body there at Thessalonica that needed to be resolved as it related to their sexual purity. In verse 13 of chapter 4, moving through chapter 5 and verse 11, we find the big section that Paul deals with the hope of the Christian. That is the return of Christ Jesus. And then from chapter 5, verse 12, all the way down, really we can just say to the end of the chapter, and it stops a little short of that. But that's where we see that Paul deals with some specific attitudes and some proper ways for the Christian to live his life. And so being then that was the book of 1 Thessalonians, well, there's an implication. If it's the first, the chances are there's going to be more. And so that brings us then now to our looking at the book of 2 Thessalonians. So 2 Thessalonians seems to have been written by Paul to deal with the situation and to deal with some different issues that obviously had not been dealt with in the proper way based on 1 Thessalonians. That there were still some misunderstandings that the brethren in Thessalonica had that would need to be cleared up, and therefore Paul would write this second letter to the brethren in Thessalonica. Paul's defense of himself, Silvanus, and Timothy in chapters 1 through 3 of 1 Thessalonians was seemingly sufficient and adequate because Paul doesn't really get into their relationship very much in 2 Thessalonians. However, the brethren needed some more teaching concerning the return of Christ Jesus and the problem of idleness, both of which Paul addressed and dealt with in 1 Thessalonians. So clearly they needed some more teaching on these matters. And really, when we think about it, it's not terribly uncommon for things not to stick immediately. You see, it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 11 that we find where it says that we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Word had spread, and Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy had received word about some of these ongoing problems, and there specifically as it related to idleness that would need to be addressed. Leon Morris, in his commentary, as he was dealing with the purpose for having written 2 Thessalonians, he tried to kind of sum it up and say that it's simply a second prescription for the same case. That is, the same case as those issues dealt with in 1 Thessalonians. That it was made after discovering that some certain stubborn symptoms had not yielded to the first treatment. And once again, I'll reiterate, it's not uncommon for things to stick with us the first time that we hear it. I'll tell on myself a little bit here, but I think about when it is that I'm going to the grocery store to pick something up for my wife. And she will tell me before I leave the house what it is that we need, what it is that I need to get, and many times she'll even tell me where exactly in the store that item is. But by the time I've gotten to the store, you know, just a few minutes after I've left the house, well, it's not uncommon for me to have to call or to text her and say, "So what is it that I'm looking for again?" We tend to forget things. Sometimes we need a little repetition, or we just need a bit more of a detailed instruction. And so that's really what Paul is doing in 2 Thessalonians. Brother Earl Edwards would give three different purposes that we might consider for Paul needing to write 2 Thessalonians. One such is the fact that Paul was working to clarify aspects of the second coming. Once again, Paul dealt with the second coming of Christ Jesus in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13, but the brethren were still evidently struggling with a clear understanding of the return of Christ Jesus. If we look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 6, Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." then we can see the same issue being addressed when we move into chapter 2. And chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 say, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." So Paul is writing the book of 2 Thessalonians to clarify aspects of the second coming. Second purpose that might be considered is that Paul is writing 2 Thessalonians to tell the brethren how to deal with those who did not obey his initial instructions in his first letter to get to work. If you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 6. Paul says, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person, and do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." And so once again, another reason that Paul is writing 2 Thessalonians is to tell the brethren how to deal with those who had not obeyed his initial instruction, specifically there about getting to work. A third purpose that might be considered is that Paul is working to encourage the faithful because of the persecution that had become more severe. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle." Paul encouraged the brethren to continue in that good call that they had received through the gospel of Christ Jesus. He was encouraging them because their persecution had become more severe. And we will deal with that a little bit as we dive into chapter 1 after a while. But before we start looking further in the book, it is important that we consider when the book of 2 Thessalonians was written. As I mentioned, as we were doing the brief review, overcap, review, overview, whatever you want to call it, of 1 Thessalonians, mentioned there how, you know, Paul very likely wrote 1 Thessalonians from Corinth, and that really and truly it probably was not much longer or much more time had elapsed after that that he would write 2 Thessalonians. So if 1 Thessalonians was written somewhere around 50-51 AD, then chances are 2 Thessalonians would have been written no later than maybe 52 AD. Some have said that, in fact, there cannot have been more than a matter of weeks between Paul having written the two epistles. Others have said it's probable that the second letter was written in AD 52, just 6 months or so after the first one. So really, based on the range given by some of these scholars, we're looking at a time of just a few weeks after having written 1 Thessalonians, up to about a half year or so. And so it's interesting when we look at that to see just how much time, or just how little time, rather, had elapsed between having written the two. Obviously, there was enough time for the Thessalonians to have received Paul's first letter and to start working towards some corrections. Because going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, one of the primary issues that Paul dealt with, and in fact, really the first issue he deals with in 1 Thessalonians as it relates to teaching and admonishing and instructing them to do better, dealt with their sexual purity. And so in 2 Thessalonians, that aspect of them struggling with their sexual purity is not there. So evidently, what we can imply from this is that they had had enough time to receive Paul's first letter and work on correcting those things, and evidently they had corrected that as it related to their sexual purity, but there was still more that needed to change, specifically as it related to their desire to get to work. And more than that, they were still having problems, and they were still struggling as it related to their understanding of the return of Christ Jesus. Now, some different topics of interest that we can find kind of scattered throughout the book of 2 Thessalonians. We can look at different ideas and specific topics that can be, really focused on as it relates to the return of Christ. Could be focused and look specifically just at prayer as it relates to how Paul prays in 2 Thessalonians. We can look at the importance of the Christian and his work. Not talking about his spiritual work here, but talking about that secular work that can be done in order to provide a living. We can talk and focus in on the importance and the different aspects of salvation that are taught in 2 Thessalonians. And also it can be looked at with the son of perdition that is talked about in chapter 2. So just as a brief overview now, if you are one who likes to take notes and you want a little bit of a heads up of the direction that we'll be headed over, I don't even want to try to put a number on how many weeks we'll be looking at 2 Thessalonians, but for the duration of our time in 2 Thessalonians, if you would like an outline, it will start in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1 with an introduction and a greeting. And after that introduction and greeting in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it goes to a big section about the Thessalonians and the judgment. And that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. And so after dealing with the Thessalonians and the judgment, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 12, Paul moves on in his letter to address the Thessalonians and lawlessness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And once Paul has dealt with the Thessalonians and lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, Paul then goes on to deal with the Thessalonians and obedience. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. So having commended the Thessalonians for their obedience in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, Paul goes on to admonish the Thessalonians. And so we can say it is the Thessalonians and Paul's admonition. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. And after having given his admonition to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, we find Paul's farewell in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And it is that farewell in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 that concludes the book of 2 Thessalonians. And so 2 Thessalonians really and truly is not a very big book. It's a small letter. It's a small book that is inspired of the Holy Spirit, but it is certainly valuable to our studies and to our growth as New Testament Christians. One thing that I have found to be beneficial to myself and my studies, and I believe that it is valuable for all of us to do, is to look at a book in its entirety. To try not to just take things out of context and just look in specific parts, but to try and keep everything in mind as a whole. And so what I would like to do at this time is to read through the book of 2 Thessalonians. And I encourage you, if you are at your house, if you are somewhere where you're able to stop for a moment and pull your cell phone out and pull your Bible up on your phone or grab the Bible to open up, if you've not done so already, I encourage you now to turn and to go to the book of 2 Thessalonians and to please follow along with me. I recognize because this is a practice that is not commonly done, it might be a little bit different. It may seem a little bit monotonous. It might come across as slightly boring, potentially. But I want us to keep in mind that this is the Word of God. And this is the book that, Lord willing, we will be able to study together over the next several weeks as we look at the book of 2 Thessalonians. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us, and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly, and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person, and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And brethren, that is the book of 2 Thessalonians. And while I realize that certainly this program is slotted out for an hour long, I believe today that this is plenty of information for us to have tried to cover and try to soak in together. Certainly as well, since it has been quite a while since I've last recorded, I've got to work myself back up to this to get back to easily being able to step in for the hour slot. And so I believe that we will go ahead and conclude our program for this Friday morning here on Mornings for the Master. We've looked at an overview and done a very brief review of the book of 1 Thessalonians, considered some different purposes and why it is that the book of 2 Thessalonians was being written. And so with some of these things in mind and having read through 2 Thessalonians together, I hope that your interest has been caught, your attention has been caught. I'm really not sure exactly what words I'm looking for there, but hopefully you get the drift of what it is I'm trying to say here. that hopefully you are excited about our study of 2 Thessalonians together. And Lord willing, you will be with us again next Friday morning at 9 a.m. as I'm here as your host on Mornings for the Master. And we will continue our study next week, Lord willing, starting with 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. I pray that you have a great day today and that you will continue listening to the Gospel Radio Network.org.